Greetings, cultivators worldwide. Jordan River here, back with more GrowCast, a helping humble hand, helping to hone your craft. Today we have Rich back on the line. Rhizo Rich is here to talk about hash strains, to do some hash reviews, to talk about the Cultivator's Cup, the Denver trip, getting kicked out of a hotel for smelling like weed. Very, very fun episode. I absolutely know you're going to love it. But before we get into it, shout out to Photon Tech, the sexy red high-performance LED lights. You can find them at growcastpodcast.com/photon. Code GROWCAST saves you 10% on some amazing magnetic high-efficiency bar lights. I love my 600-watt. Let me tell you, these things are off the chain. The magnetic bars make it easy to put together, easy to disassemble and reassemble. If one goes out, you can pop it off and mail it back. They'll replace it. It's got a 5-year warranty, and they've got just about the best efficiency and PPF in the game. The 1,000-watt, Shane from Migro said it was too powerful. That's right. You're going to need to dim this thing down unless you have everything dialed in. The PPF is almost 3,000 umols, folks. The 1,000-watt, they require CO2 supplementation. They're so powerful. Photon Tech lighting, baby. Code GROWCAST, 10% off. Get the square models if you have a 2x2 or 3x3. Get the 600-watt if you're in a 5x5. The 465 is perfect for a 4x4. And the 1,000-watt is if you're crazy and you want one of the most powerful lights in the game. Code GROWCAST at growcastpodcast.com/photon. That brings you right there. Use those savings and send us a snapshot of your code always to be entered to win free seeds. Thank you to Photon Tech. I love them. They're powerful. They're efficient. They're easy to assemble. Truly one of the best lights on the market. Go and get it, everybody. Code GROWCAST. All right, let's get into it with Rhizo Rich. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, as always, I urge you to share the show, tell a grower about the show, check out The Order of Cultivation, our little membership program, at growcastpodcast.com/membership, and check out all of our classes. We're coming to a city near you. You're going to want to see what we're putting on, some incredible education at growcastpodcast.com/classes. Speaking of which, you can look forward to a breeder class down the road. That's right. We're going to be putting out some notifications on this very, very soon. But me and Rhizo Rich are going to team up for a little breeder tour. Very exciting news to kick off this episode with. And this episode has said guest, Rhizo Rich. What's up, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Excellent, man. Excellent. Thank you for coming on the show here after our whirlwind trip to Denver. That was awesome. Thank you for coming on that trip, man. What a blast it was traveling with you, meeting fans in Colorado, and visiting the great city of Denver.
Oh, yeah, dude, that was a blast. I've never been to Colorado. I had a lot of fun. It was really nice to meet everybody and see the mountains and enjoy all the different food places. That was amazing. I didn't expect that. So it was really cool. Great time.
So much to get into, really too much to recap here. We did do some member content on it, but shout out to, Weed Should Taste Good for coming out to the event. Brett from Heart and Soil taking us down to Area 420. We've got some great content on Area 420. You're going to hear that name. Really, really cool place in the middle of nowhere in Colorado where they're cultivating 420 acres of cannabis. Some super, super cool content coming. Shout out to all the members who came out. Love you guys. The guy who brought Voodoo Donuts. So much love, dude. Chris Trump was there. It was fucking awesome. So yeah, I just want to say thank you to everybody. And we've got some really good stories, some great stories for Nug Mash in May as well. But yeah, man, just really quickly, what was your favorite part of the Denver trip? Shout out to Farmer John. How could I forget for hosting us, my man, Farmer John. What was your favorite part of the trip though, Rich?
Oh man, that's a hard question, dude. The whole trip was a blast, every part of it. But honestly, probably my most favorite part, besides all the places we got to eat at, because we went to some really cool places, was just hanging out at Farmer John's house, man. I had a lot of fun just doing that and smoking all the different kinds of bud and people swinging by and seeing, meeting different people, and just had a lot of fun.
We should really dive into the strain reviews. People love the strain reviews, so we should dive into these rosin reviews and strain reviews that we got to try. Of course, we can go deep into that. But first, I feel like we should probably share just quickly the story, the incredible story that dominated the trip as we were traveling literally in the middle of nowhere in the Colorado. What is it? A valley? The valley down there? Yeah, it was like a massive valley, probably 3.5-4 hours south of Denver. The great story of Lorraine. You know, Rich, you were there for this.
Oh, shit.
It was incredible. So, yeah, we should probably talk about this, right?
Yeah, we probably should tell this story, especially since it happened in Colorado, which we didn't really expect.
I know. That was kind of what shocked me. And I don't want to give out the name of the place. I don't want people to start bombing with bad reviews or anything. But we were in the middle of nowhere, and we called a motel for the night and, you know, talked to the lady on the phone, said we'd be in after a late dinner. Ended up showing up there around 10, 11, just when we said we would. And long story short, we got turned away for being cannabis users, like straight up explicitly. Now, we did walk in there with our Area 420 hoodies, and we probably did smell. But as soon as we stepped in the door, you could tell that Lorraine was a bit of a sourpuss, right, Rich? Could you feel that energy right away?
Oh, totally, dude. She was it was an older lady. Her place of residence in the motel didn't look like it had been updated since maybe the 70s or 80s. So she was living her little time capsule. dude, you were so nice and sweet to her. Like, you couldn't have been any nicer to this lady. I don't even know what else you could have done to, you know, please her. You know, she asked us if, or she said something about, you're not going to smoke cannabis or whatever. And I think I said, not at all, you know, definitely not in the rooms. You know, if we go outside or whatever. And she's like, oh, it's not allowed on the property at all.
And yep. I don't allow it on the premises.
From you guys or rent a room to you guys. And that's when you were like, oh, come on, we've been traveling all day. And I think you even said, we're good boys.
You know, like,
you
were, dude,
you were so nice to her.
I basically turned into Mickey Mouse. Like, ho, ho.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's literally what I was. When I came in, I said, this looks like a hidden gem you have here. I don't know if you remember that part. Met with silence.
Dude, you're brown nosing her, for sure.
I was trying to be a sweet boy to her, and she was not having any of it.
No, she was not. And she goes, I think her last words were like, I'm going to have to pass or something like that.
It's going
to
be a no. Yeah.
Yeah, it was going to be a no. So she refused us, you know, service, and we had to go drive another, 40 minutes or whatever to another town and
spend our money elsewhere.
Hotel. So, like you said, we won't give out the name, but if you're ever at Area 420 and are looking up the nearest motel, you might be able to figure it out.
It's definitely fucking rough, man. And, it two parts of me, honestly, and I don't want to get into anything personal and my personal beliefs, because who cares? But it's like, I understand a business being able to run their business however they like.
Hold on. She did say that she was worried that we were going to make her bed sheet smell.
She did say that. Yeah.
Like cannabis.
I should have said, do you wash them?
Do you wash them first? That was my first thought. And second of all, like, if somebody smokes cigarettes, that's going to linger in those sheets probably a little more. I don't know. I just found it kind of weird, you know.
It was whack as fuck.
It wasn't really making sense, you know.
It was whack as fuck, and it's a bad business decision, and her logic made no sense. I understand a business being able to run itself however it wants. So the kind of primary part of me was that. But then the other hand was, you know, like we were fit young men, youngish men, even though Brett was pissed when we came back out to the minivan. He's like, what do you mean we didn't get a room? We were able to drive 45 minutes, no problem, to the next place. But like,
yeah, thank God we weren't some sick person who needed cannabis or something.
That would be different. Like, what if Brett had fucking, you know, cancer? What if he had fucking ball cancer? You were all fucked up from fibromyalgia or something, right? That's kind of a different story at that point. And that wasn't our situation, but it just made me think. It made me think of a couple different scenarios. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could definitely be discriminated against there. And I think somebody did tell us after we had told them that story that they had heard that place had done that before to somebody else. So it's not like we were the first person that she's done that to.
Really, really wild trip. And it was just, honestly, her name really was Lorraine. So shout out to Lorraine. Honestly, that was a good cap to the crazy trip. It was just really, really wild. And we had a lot of fun.
You made a cannabis show, Lorraine.
You did. Congratulations. Now you're famous. No, it was really fun. And there's going to be more content, like I said, on Area 420. This was a very unique place.
Awesome.
It was bizarre and very awesome. Awesome is a great word.
People
to use.
Cool as hell.
A lot of cool people down there, man. Good people, long time cultivators, people who have done time, you know, done it for decades in illegal states, now moving to live in the middle of the desert valley on their grow property, basically, and grow at Area 420. It's very fascinating, and we've got a whole deep dive on that coming. So yeah, Denver recap, everybody. It's an adventure every time. Come out to the meetups. Come out to the classes. It is a goddamn adventure every time. But yeah, so much good rosin. I want to shout out No Regerts. No Regerts on Instagram. Worth a follow. He's one of the guys down at Area 420. But we're kind of starting here with this story because we did get to watch him press a bunch of rosin. Someone who's been doing it for a very, very long time. And he had some really interesting strategies, especially the heat cure. And this is perfect for Nug, Mash, and May. So what were we working with there, Rich? I think Brett had brought down a mix of keef from the skunk hunt.
Yeah.
So he was pressing keef, right? He didn't make it into bubble hash. He didn't do anything like that. It was just knocked off trichome heads.
Yeah.
And it worked pretty damn well, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the return was great, definitely.
I was surprised. It was
gushing. Came out nice and golden. I thought it looked beautiful.
So again, it was a mixed batch, a salad batch, which I want to get into in a second also, talk about blends. But what surprised me was, you know, he pumped out a bunch of this rosin and we came back the next day and he had showed us the different results from the different heat cures. Now, I'm not educated enough to speak on the temperatures that he used. I think I might have it in my phone on some of that 420 footage, but it was a low temperature. And he said, this one I didn't do at all and just sat it out. And this one I ran for, I don't know how long it was, 4 minutes or whatever. And this one was 15 and 30. Those were not the numbers. But my point is he had run them different times on a very low heat and it completely changed the consistency. Ryza Rich, have you heard of the heat cure? Is that something you do or you know people to do? Not a lot of people have brought up the heat cure this month.
No, I've never heard of using heat like that to cure it per se. I think what he was doing was pressing it and then leaving it on the press at a certain temperature. Wasn't it something like that?
Is that
like
it?
Leaving it on a hot plate.
Yeah.
And he would leave it at a very, I think it was like 180 or something really low for a certain amount of time. It was definitely interesting. It came out way different, like consistencies at different temperatures, different colors. It all tasted great.
The flavors were totally different, wildly different.
I've never seen that done, no.
I remember very specifically, like you said, the consistencies went from very, very oily and wet on the less
right.
time on the heat to very, very dry and waxy.
Yeah.
I remember I liked the first of all, the funny part about what I like, apparently, I liked the spectrums. I liked the one that was on for the least and the most. The one that was on for the least had more complexity and more funkiness. The one that was on the most smelled like gas. Do you remember how much more gassy it was?
Totally, dude.
Very,
totally.
Very strange.
Those are my favorites too.
So the heat cure, shout out to No Regerts with that fucking heat cure. Totally different consistency each time. And some of it really, really beautiful and soupy like I like. Yeah, that was a good one. And I got some good footage of that pouring off. But what it made me want to do is make sure that I save all of my keef from trimming and all my trichome heads and press that because I was shocked at the return.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good stuff.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing how much keef, you know, can give you.
That method, though, the heat cure, is kind of like what you were doing with your carts, right? Do you want to talk about that here on the main podcast a little bit? How you're taking not any type of rosin, but a lot of different consistencies of rosin out there and getting it to a place where you can put it right into a cartridge.
So, yeah, I guess when you put it like that, then yes, I have heard of it. I've never really looked at it as like a way of curing it.
That's to the extreme, though.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I've been trying to plan with making my own carts for a couple years now and went from, you know, using BHO and now I'm only using live rosin and rosin. Shout out to the Hash Critic for kind of giving me a recipe on how to get them into cartridges so you don't need to use any kind of liquidizers or any terpenes added or anything like that. You can just take your rosin or live rosin and make it into a liquid and put it into a cart and smoke it just how it is. Basically, you just need to get like a glass jar that seals, put your live rosin in there, seal it up, get your oven. These temperatures I'm going to say are kind of just off the top of my head. If somebody really wants the exact recipe, you can DM me and I'll give you the exact temperatures. I will say I've played with these temperatures and as long as you're in a certain range, it'll work regardless. But I want to say that His were something like 180 for a certain amount of hours. And then, or no, it was 220 for, I think, the first 30 minutes. Then you dropped it down to 180 and you left it in there for like 4 or 5 hours. I don't do it like that. What I would do is I would do the 220 for about 30 minutes. And that'll turn the live rosin and the rosin or the rosin into just a liquid, like a gold liquid.
This is in the oven with a mason jar, right? A sealed mason jar?
Some kind of sealed jar, yes. If you have enough to use a mason jar, that works. I have found the Dollar Tree. If you go in their little craft section, they have these little glass jars with lids. Those work great. Just make sure before you use them, you take the lid off. They have these little like styrofoam stoppers in the lids. Take that out because obviously you don't want to throw that in the oven. But the lid's metal, so they work great otherwise.
You and your Dollar Tree. You love that fucking Dollar Tree, bro.
Yeah, man, you can get some good shit there. Yeah, it's always funny when I get a pack of seeds and I see somebody who used the jar from the Dollar Tree or something from the Dollar Tree, because I know exactly all the shit that's there, you know, all the little jars and the little craft shit, because they do have all sorts of stuff like that. But back to the rosin. So yeah, I'd leave it in there for about 30 minutes at 220, and then I would drop it down to the 180, and I'd leave it in there for about another 30 minutes to an hour, and then you pull it off, pull it out of the oven. And at that point, you kind of want to let it cool down. You don't want to just pop the lid off of it. If you do, you will hear like an air pop or release. And no point of having the lid on is to kind of conserve those terpenes and stuff. So I'll let it kind of come down to room temperature. It'll still stay in that liquid state. It will get more solidified, but you can still move it back and forth in the jar. It'll just be slower. Once it's come down to that temperature, I'll let it sit for a little bit, and then I'll like warm up a hot plate or the top of my stove and just set it on there just to warm up to where it gets in a really liquidy form again. Not where it's cooking or anything, but just where that liquid is as viscous as it can be, I guess you could say. And I'll actually put the empty cartridge up on there too as well, the stove top, if it's warming up. And I won't put it on a hot plate, but if the top of the oven's warm, I'll put the syringe up there too. Get everything nice and warm, pull up the rosin in the syringe, and then put it into the cart and put the top on while everything's nice and warm. And I mean, you've smoked those carts before, Hash Critics carts, my cart. It tastes just like you're doing a rosin dab. You know, there's really no terpene loss. I was shocked. The first time you gave me this recipe, I'm like, so how do you not
burn everything off? Yeah,
putting these things in the oven like that. I was super skeptical. I just didn't believe it. I didn't even try this recipe for a few months because I thought there's no way this is gonna work. He gave me one of his and I was like, wow, it does work really well. Maybe he's doing something different, let me try it. And I tried it and it worked amazing. And ever since then I make my own carts only with rosin or live rosin, because it's so incredibly easy to do. Like I said, you can go to the dollar, you can spend, you know, a dollar on the pack of the jars and get a syringe for a dollar probably, and you know, buy a gram of rosin if you don't grow it at your dispensary and make two of the half gram cartridges for, you know, half the price of if you bought a half gram cartridge. So it's just a way to make stuff go further and, you know, be more discreet. If you can't take a dab somewhere, it's like being able to take a dab, you know, out of a cart basically. I will say though, it does burn a lot quicker. I know you noticed that too with the rosin carts when we bought that one in Michigan. They do burn a lot quicker just because there's no like added liquids or added terpenes in there.
It seemed that way, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they do burn a little quicker, but you know, they taste like you're taking a dab, so.
Yeah, I was definitely impressed. And who knew? Because like you were saying, I remember you kind of toiling over this for a while with botanical terpenes and all this different stuff. And in reality, all you needed to do was pop it in the oven for a little while. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I will say it does not work with, like, at least I haven't been able to get this method to work with like BHO. So this is only for rosin and live rosin. So you try it with anything other than that, I don't know what you're going to end up with.
It also seemed to me like it depends on the consistency of the rosin. Did all of them work out, or did some of the kind of more resinous rosin not do as well, if I remember correctly?
All the rosins I've used worked really good, and they all seem to be really terpy, you know, from good people who make good hash that we know or I know. I have been in like a dispo in Michigan and seen some rosin that was questionable sitting on the shelf. And the first thing I thought was, I don't know if that would go into a cart really well. It was super, super waxy. I'm not saying it wouldn't, but I haven't really experimented with something that wasn't, you know, I don't want to say terpy where there's terps rolling off the top of it or anything, but you know, like the stuff Hash Critic gave us and from Pleasantly Pressed and what's his name, Portal Provisions and all those people, they have really good rosin and live rosin, you know, it's terpy enough. It's not like a ball of concentrate or anything you can pick up, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of these Hash Critics, shout out to Hash Critic, as we will get into in a little bit here, but some of these Hash Critics really differentiate the slightest difference in tone and texture. Man, to me,
oh, totally,
so many of these brands are so fucking good. Like you said, I'm also getting into some of this cured rosin and cured extract, especially after talking to Dr. Daniel Hayden. I now appreciate the difference and really love all of it at the end of the day. Maybe I'm kind of like a rosin slut. I don't know. But at the end of the day, like, I'm down for it all. I suppose we should go into some of the more impressive strains and products that we've come across, because I'm sure the growers out there would like to know, you know what I mean? As somebody such as yourself who's tried a lot of these different presses, if someone's growing for rosin, they might want to pick up one of these strains or hunt one of these cuts that we've tried, been fortunate enough to try around the nation. So what stands out to you? You mentioned Pleasantly Pressed, an awesome Squisher from Colorado, also a member of the Order of Cultivation, GrowCast membership. He fed us a couple different ones, man. He fed us Straw Nana, which is a legendary Colorado cut, and just blasted strawberry and banana terps. I don't really smell strawberry terps very often, like real strawberry terps.
No, you get strawberry banana in there for sure, and I don't either.
Yeah.
I was shocked with that one.
Huge, huge strawberry to the face blast on that one. You agree with that? You got real strawberries on
100%.
That too?
Yeah, that one was the only strawberry banana strain I've ever had that tasted like strawberries and bananas.
I kind of agree, like 100%. And then we smoked some of Farmer John's flower of the same, and the flower definitely had those same elements, but it's when you squished it that they really amplified.
Yeah, concentrated for sure.
It's wild how that works. So the Straw Nana, again, that's a pretty coveted cut, I believe. I believe that one's not quite as widely available. The Trop Cookies, that is more widely available. The Trop Cookies, I really enjoyed that one. What did you think of the Trop Cookies? People are hit or miss on the Trop Cookies. I don't know if you know that.
I don't like orange terpenes anymore, like orange flavor, because I went through a phase where a lot of shit I grew was orange, and I just got oranged out. I'm not into it. And people tell me that Trop Cookies is like really orangey. And I definitely see where that orange comes in from the concentrate, but it's something else too. And it's super, super tasty. So that one I really, really liked. And I was skeptical. Not that it looked fantastic, but I was skeptical flavor-wise, because like I said, I'm not an orange fan, and people kept telling me that it's, you know, it's all orange and orange this and orange that, but it was very, very like orangey, but also like fruit punchy and something else. It was just very enjoyable.
Kind of funky, like rotten fruit punch. Yeah, the Trop Cookies definitely had a good consistency. I will shout out the consistency on that one.
Yeah. Nice and shiny looking.
Some of the big ones that I think people enjoy, I don't know how well they return, but the Slurricane from Portal Provisions, the GMO from Portal Provisions, both very, very impressive. Trying to think of what else we had on these adventures.
The Guava Jams from Hash Critic. And then he had this other one called 33rd. I don't know what that strain is or who made it, but that one was just as good as the Guava Jams, and actually
I barely got to try that. Yeah, I wanted to try that one more. Let's spend a minute on this Guava Jam. So we're going to get into the Cultivator's Cup results, because we did have our first ever GrowCast Cultivator's Cup. It was a massive success. Judging all the entries was incredible. And it was surprising that we only got one solventless entry. We had over 30 flower entries, one solventless entry, and it was Hash Critic. So if you're going to have one that's a good one to have, it's like the best hash I've ever had, basically.
Yeah, it may have been the best hash I ever had. I mean, or up there with the top three. I mean, it was very offensive terpenes and just, but enjoyable, you know, like, what, I don't know. I guess what a grower hunts for it a lot in terpenes, just something that's super strong and knocks you on your ass, but gives you like that high school high, you know?
Man, that's a ringing endorsement. So this Guava Jam, again, was the strain pressed by Hash Critic, grown by Hash Critic too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, all grown, hunted, pressed, all that, made.
Is that a in-house strain?
The Guava Jams, I want to say, is a Bloom Seed Co., but I honestly do not know who did Guava Jams. I'm going
to
assume
we have to look this up.
They do a lot of guava.
I mean, we got to look this up. Guava Jam strain.
Oh, yeah. It is Bloom. I already looked it up.
There you go. That was quick. Riser Rich. Boom. Guava Jam, Bloom Seed Co. There it is. Yeah. Holy shit. So Harry Palms, again, making these strains for Hash, and it really turning out well in this case. Ringing endorsement from Riser Rich. I will agree. The high is strong as fuck. The incredible thing was the aftertaste. Because
lip smacking, for sure.
Lip smacking. That's exactly right. It was guava on the roof of your mouth after you've exhaled, like several seconds after you've exhaled.
Hey, you know what? I want to touch on something that you said a few minutes ago, and I'm reading this Guava Jam description, and it kind of touches exactly what you said on. It says guava jam is a complex hybrid that crosses four classic strains of sweet, creamy, diesel, and fuel-forward bud. You said something about like a mixed strain rosin. And actually, some of the best rosin I've had before, besides the Guava Jams, was rosin that Hash Critic made that I gave him from trim of like 16 different plants.
Yes.
And I know that me and you have talked before about how these like mixed strain rosin, sometimes they might come out a little bit darker, sometimes they don't, but they seem to have just these really popping and just awesome flavor. So
dude,
it kind of makes sense maybe why we're so into the Guava Jam is because it does have, it is kind of more of a complex four different strain cross, you know?
You absolutely nailed it. We had this conversation off air, and I think it's really good to bring it here to the main podcast. I love having conversations with you, Riser Rich, that challenge the way growers think. You know what I mean? Whether it's like strain testing or, you know, breeding in the price of seeds or whatever it is. I just like this. And this is something I'd like to challenge the listeners to think about. Why do we give so much reverence to blending strains with breeding them on the back end? And then
concentrate
and then stigmatize it when someone has to mix a strain if they're rolling a joint or if they're making extract. What is that stigma?
Yeah, I've had people get mad getting a bag of flower and you give them like a mixed bag, you know, a bunch of different strains, you know, and it's, I get there is something to be said about having one flavor and I understand that, but every now and then, like I want to get some variety. I'd love to be able to go to a dealer and give me a bunch of different kinds. It's almost always, you know, one kind and you don't have much of a choice or not really nowadays, but back in, you know, back then it was. So I don't know. I like a little bit of a variety, you know. It doesn't bother me, but you definitely are correct about that, you know, when it comes to smoking a joint or, you know, making some concentrated, people seem to really only want one thing, but some of the best stuff does come from blended shit.
100%. And again, the question is, why is that? Where is that stigma? I think it's because, you know, usually it's the idea that, oh, you had to blend because you had saved multiple strains. It wasn't intentional. That's just kind of whatever you threw together. But honestly, there's no reason it shouldn't be like coffee that they blend different cultivars together to achieve different strains. And once we get over this stigma that blending in a concentrate or blending in a joint is somehow bad, there is going to be a huge market for people who simply select two different flower strains, put them together into a pre-roll, put a brand on it and sell it. And some of them will become your favorite. That are mixed, you know, a strain of hash and two different strains of flower, or a rosin that's two different cultivars blended together at a certain ratio to achieve a very specific flavor. I think it's the future. And I think the stigma just comes from, like I said, people think you're throwing it together because everybody has this and that laying around if they're a grower. I think the stigma is unfounded overall.
Well, dude, like when I make RSO or FICO, I always use a mix of as many strains as I can, more than 10, because I want to try to get as much medicinal benefit into it. And maybe I'm wrong for thinking that, but it just makes sense. You know, the more variety of strains in there, the more different kind of terpenes and different compounds and shit you're adding. So it's going to seem that it would be more medicinal. So, I mean, why would that be a bad thing with flower or rosin or anything else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I just was given some, what is it called? Cutting room floor rosin, a salad rosin from a very, very talented and dear friend, cultivator and a hash squisher down here in Oklahoma City. This stuff put me on my ass, man. It was so It was so deliciously complex. It just smelled like everything. It's like an everything bagel. And when I say that it put me on my ass, I mean, it was very powerful, but honestly, it was very fucking medicinal. Very medicinal to mix all that together into one blend. So it was definitely potent, but it made me feel good. It lowered my inflammation. You know what, Rich? Every time we do a meetup and these people bring 25 different flavors and we're all passing around joints, my aches and pains are always gone at the end of the night.
Oh, dude, totally. Yeah, we just attribute it to smoking so much, but it might be from just the giant variety.
That's what I think, man. I feel great every time. As long as I don't, you know, have a bunch of sugar or have a beer, I go home and my shit is all loosey-goosey and nothing hurts. And I think it's from the wide variety because I smoke a lot at home, but I never smoke 25 different strains in a period like that, dude.
Right.
So, yeah, pretty cool shit, though. I hope you enjoyed that that little exploration, guys. And shout out to the Hash Critic for winning our best solventless in the Cultivator's Cup. And also, come on down to these cups, you guys. If you would have showed up and entered Bubble Hash, we would have given you a fucking thing because no one else entered Bubble. I don't know if it's just because so many of our growers are flower focused. I think that people were probably a little shy to enter, but don't be shy. Come and enter everything. We want to see it.
Totally.
I guess that's a good transition into the Cultivator's Cup. We'll return to the program in just a second, but before that, I got to tell you about Plant Revolution, everybody. PlantRevolution.com. Check out the incredible microbes that they have. Code GROWCAST now live on the website, or pick them up in your local hydro store. You know I love the King Crab. Let me talk to you about the King Crab for a second. It is a liquid beneficial bacteria product, and it is specifically designed to boost your effectiveness and plant performance throughout the whole life cycle, veg and bloom. It's loaded with beneficial bacteria. It's got the phosphorus solubilizing bacteria. It's got micronutrient solubilizing bacteria. It's got photosynthetic bacteria. So many different strains that your plant is just gonna love. 25 million CFUs per milliliter per strain of bacteria in this thing. It's clean, it's powerful. If you're not using King Crab, add it to any setup and you will see results and love them. King Crab, again, at plantrevolution.com or at your local hydro store. Use code GROWCAST. Tell them you heard about it on GROWCAST. We love Plant Revolution. Use their MycoChum, which is their microbe food. Use that no matter what living soil setup you have. If you have microbiology, use that MycoChum to feed them and absolutely send them into a delicious frenzy. And of course, I've been using the Orca really heavy lately. This is their liquid mycorrhiza and bacteria product. And I've been using that in my personal setup and absolutely loving it. The liquid mycorrhiza is very, very convenient. Not to mention their great white powdered mycorrhiza is water soluble. They've got some of the best products out there. When it comes to microbes, no one does it better. PlantRevolution.com. Find them in your local hydro store. Use code GROWCAST. Try out the Crobes. You will not regret it. They will transform your garden, everybody. All right, now back to our regularly scheduled programming. I guess that's a good transition into the Cultivator's Cup. Do you want to talk about the entries, some strain reviews, some shout outs to amazing growers as we recap the Cultivator's Cup, Rich?
Absolutely, man. That was a blast.
I figure we have to announce them here on the podcast. Listeners do want to know. They want to know how this went. It was incredible. Shout out to John from The Hideaway Legal Indoor Consumption Lounge in Southern Illinois, where we held it. You're going to want to come to these, you guys, when we hold these cups and the submission party, which is where everybody drops off their samples. It's just absolutely incredible. It's the best cannabis event that I've ever been to. And I'm just deeply touched by all of the listeners and members who showed up and the team members who helped. It was amazing. So listen, let's just get right into it with the winners. We'll review the strains. some teasers, this and that. Let's dive right into it. So like I said, best solventless went to the Hash Critic. Shout out to the Hash Critic. He did win that with the guava jam. Best edible went to the Great Scoops. Congratulations to the Great Scoops with her peppermint patty. Very, very talented edible maker. Underground chapter member Seed Fiend took down the solvent category with the Slurricane. Again, Slurricane making an appearance. Seed Fiend took it down. And then we get into flower, which is third place went to, for his Gary Payton grown in living soil, member Hands Cold. Hands Cold. Now, Rich, do you remember when I talked to you about judging the Midwest Grow Cup and that Hands Cold was my favorite? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, dude. I do remember you saying that. And you were surprised that he didn't win that one.
How do you remember that? Okay. I don't think I even brought this up in between now and then. So I'm glad you remember that conversation. I picked his as my favorite. I picked third place as my favorite. I recognized it from the Midwest Grow Cup. Me and Wolfman both picked that Gary Payton as our favorite. I'm surprised you didn't score it higher, buddy. I'm a little bit shocked, Rich. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there was a few entries of Gary Payton, and I did enjoy that one. I'm not a huge fan of the Gary Payton, I guess. I mean, it's good, but it's just not one of my favorites, maybe. So it was definitely well done.
Do you remember what it smelled like? I could describe it, but I'd like to hear you describe it.
Man, you know I have no sense of smell or taste. For me, that one is gassy, and I love gas, but it's not necessarily super strong, I guess you could say. I've tried like four or five different Gary Paytons that week, and all of them just aren't quite on the level for me that's as foul as I'd like it to be, I guess.
It's definitely not foul, but it did have, if anybody's a fan of burnt rubber terps, and I tried a lot of different Gary Payton, and they come out wildly different. Yeah, it smells like asphalt after, you know, someone just Tokyo drifted past you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it smells like that and gas and permanent markers.
Yeah, the permanent marker's a good one, dude.
Yeah, it's very pungent and chemically, I would say.
It is. Maybe gassy isn't a good way. I could see chemical and
it's gassy too. It's definitely gassy too. So a good friend described it as black. Smells like the color black. Shout out. Very, very, very distinguishable. I like that cut. And shout out to Hands Cold for taking third place. I have not grown the Gary Payton.
Neither have I.
What is the lineage on that Gary Payton? Gary Payton Strain. A collab between Cookies and Powers Genetics. Okay.
Powers.
Okay. So we're not going to get the cultivar basically. Oh no, it's a cross of the Y and Snowman. It's a cross of the Y and Snowman. Not familiar with either of those. Yeah, cookies. But I have seen Powers before, so very, very interesting. The Gary Payton taking third. I like that cut. Very purple. Very delicious.
It is a pretty one.
Yeah, again, I recognize that one. Pretty funny. Second place was taken. Rich, you gotta feel pretty fucking good about this, man. Second place was taken by a Growcast Seed Co. strain. Were you happy to see that?
I was totally happy to see that and definitely surprised. I'm not going to say surprised it took second because the dude did a great job. It came out fucking amazing, but it's always flattering to see something that you made place higher than, you know, something like the Mac or Gary Payton or something that's out there that everybody's super hyped about. So yeah, it was very flattering to see that.
So I think that it's really great that this strain won second because it has your classic, like no one else has it, lineage. Ice Cream Wolfman, the F2 by my man JT, took second place.
Killed it, dude.
Dark.
So pretty.
Oh, so pretty. Dark, dark purple. It didn't smell just like apricots like so many of the Ice Cream Wolfmans that I've had. It smelled like ripe apricots and like musk and like herbs or something. It was very complex. And three out of the six judges picked it as their favorite.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
Yes.
That's awesome. I mean, it was, like I said, it turned out beautiful. He did a fucking stellar job on it. So he definitely deserved it.
It's funny how three of the six picked it as their favorite. It landed second because the other judges didn't score it quite as high. It wasn't evenly scored super, super high, but it wasn't scored low. I mean, it was jam packed. It was a traffic jam when I was looking at the scores, but it did take second place. Really shows the different preferences of the judges. Like you said, not a fan of this profile, highly attracted to that one. So John from Three Mile Farm thought it was his favorite, and Hannah, it was her favorite, and it was producer Jay's favorite. So funny.
Damn.
Yeah, shout out to JT. Again, if you like a color show, if you like fruit and
super purple,
very medicinal, highly medicinal. The only thing that it didn't score as high as our winner was across the board on the effect. Wolfman even said, like, great all day smoke. Not saying it's not potent. It's nice and strong, but it's not going to ruin your day like our first place winner. The first place winner, which was also a cut from Ryza Rich's garden, but it was not a Growcast Seed Co. strain. Crazy Legs won with his truffle cake. Rich, you were working with this truffle cake. Everyone gave it a 10 on effect, except for Wolfman gave it a 9. And I think that is what pushed it over the edge for first place, was those like 10, 10, 10, 10.
Right.
So yeah, pretty cool. Shout out to Crazy Legs, my main man, who won with the truffle cake. We shouldn't go too far into the strain. We've talked about the truffle cake in the past. Extremely potent, very, very umami, gassy, beautiful.
Gassy mushroom.
Yeah, mushrooms for days. So yeah, that those are the winners of the Cultivators Cup. Very exciting, Rich. Were you fucking so stoked to see the results and do that Growcast TV live?
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. It was totally awesome to see Crazy Legs win and JT win and Hands Cold win. You know, everybody did awesome, though. All the entries, like, there wasn't one entry that was bad, man. They were all fucking great.
I'm shocked. I totally agree.
That Bart had was super skunky, that whatever skunk strain he had. That one, like...
Thank you.
I keep calling it the underdog, but there was something about it that... Like, I kept going back to smoking it.
Thank you for shouting out the Double Mint Skunk by our friend Bart. We got to give this cultivar credit, dude. Since we're doing strain reviews here, I'm going to look it up. Who did it? It was hard to find because it's spelled weird. It's like D-U-B-B. It's like double bubble. Double Mint Skunk strain. Dirty Water Organics. So I've never heard of these guys. I don't know where they're from. This Double Mint right. Skunk, you guys, we're not affiliated. We have our own thing going on.
It was tasty.
We have to tell you about this strain. It tasted like bad cheese fermented in a skunk's butt.
That's the best way to describe it.
That's the only way
cheese
I can describe
skunk,
it.
That's it.
I mean, it was so foul that I didn't finish it for a while. I gave it to Papa Doobs. Shout out to Brews and Doobs. And he was like, because he was telling me, I love shit that's just pungent and foul. I want it to make me sick when I opened the bag. And I was like, dude, I got to show you this because I have a little bit extra from the sample bag, from the trophy bag. So I gave him some of the Double Mint Skunk and he was like, oh my God. He went in for like 6 sniffs. That shit was rank, Rich. So nasty.
I'm not really a cheese fan either, but it definitely had the cheese. But something about the cheese and skunk together. Man, it was very, very pleasurable to smoke and smell. Like you said, you just want to keep going back and smelling it.
Oh, holy fuck, bro. It's got the Uncle Fester skunk in it, which we tried on the skunk hunt. The Uncle Fester skunk was very, very skunky, and that's where it's coming from. And that's crossed by the Bubble Mint, which, by the way, it did have this like weird mint undertone.
Yeah,
the Bubble Mint, which is a Cookies by Indiana Bubblegum cross. Holy shit. Very interesting. Can you get us some of those seeds, Bart? Hit me up, bro. Goddamn.
Right? Maybe he has the cut.
But honestly, man, I feel like you don't work a ton of the like foul, pungent ones. And I just love what you got going on. I mean, the shitstorm and the GMO stuff, obviously putting off some funk for sure.
I try to. I love grass and I love foul. So I do try to go towards more, at least have include some gas stuff just because it's easier to find. But I do really appreciate the foul stuff. So
lots of gas for sure.
I'll use it.
Yeah, but other than the doo-doo butt, this new Peach Quake line, so much gas and so much sweet. I'm really, really excited to see what comes out because the Peach Quake has just been so gassy and sweet in the past. Super, super sweet.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how mixed with the truffle cake, how it comes out because that one's so mushroom gassy, you know.
Tectonic truffle, two of them dominating my tent right now. That and the Molokai Citrus Kush. It's so dry in Oklahoma. That the Molokai Citrus Kush is like fucking ripping, dude.
Damn.
And the Tectonic truffle. Those are the beasts in my tent right now.
Yeah,
I love it. I don't know if the truffle cake likes it dry, but they're happy as fuck. God damn, man. We rap like friends. Sometimes I forget we are doing an episode here. I know you guys like those strain reviews though. So there you go, everybody. That is the recap of the Cultivator's Cup, recap of Rosin. Yeah, very, very good. What's going on, Rich? I know we're gonna go on a class tour together. Can you talk to us about any breeding work that you're doing? Oh, shit. The London Pound Cake, probably, huh? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I got a... we have that member, Bobo, who sent me a full pack of the Sea Junkie London Pound Cake number 75 to the Cushman's number 11.
Like a $500 pack?
Yeah, it was like $500 or $600. And he gave me the whole entire pack unopened and said, pop them and do an open pollination with them because I want as many seeds of it as I can to look through and also to, you know, give some away to the community. So
fucking amazing. Shout out to Boba.
I am doing the open pollination right now with those, and those are going to be freebies at the next drop that we do. And the next one's going to be a very small one. The open pollination, I actually threw like some truffle cake in there and some extras because I had a little bit of extra space. So there'll be a couple strains we'll be releasing as a small pollination, and we'll do the Sea Junkies as freebies, and then we'll do another larger one and hopefully still have some Sea Junkie freebies to give out of that one too, which are just going to be the open pollination, you know, Sea Junkie plants.
Very cool.
So it'll just be the London Pound Cake cross to the Cushman's. But you know, like we said, the pack's super expensive and a lot of people like London Pound Cake and want to try it. And Bobo said it's been one of the most medicinal varieties for him. So he wants other people to try it too. So I figure,
is that right?
Yeah, I guess so. He said it really, really helps him. It's one of the best ones that he's been able to find. So
for digestive issues, I remember.
Yeah, that's why he's so into it and wants to hunt through it more and you know, look at as many plants as he can and in the line, I guess you could say. Wow. And you know, it's not like this is a massive open pollination where we're using hundreds of plants. You know, it's literally, I got 5 females and 5 males. So I did get very lucky on the 50-50 ratio. They all popped, you know, so it's about as even as the open pollination could be with the
pack.
That's
perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still very exciting. There's out of the 5 females, there's 2 that really impressed me. The other 3 are, you know, just what I call basic dank looking plants. But yeah, the 2 that I like so far, you know, are nice and frosty early. They have nice bud structure. So I'll run those again when they're not being pollinated by the males and, you know, doing the open pollination project. But yeah, that's what's on the chopping block, I guess you could say, for next. So far as the small pollination though, it is going to be small, so members might end up getting to it before we're able to, you know, release it to the public.
Always.
So that is one thing that people should be, you know, mindful of. If
fucking seed piranhas.
You know, if you are really wanting the truffle cake cross to the, you know, London Pound Cake Cushman's or whatever, if you're not a member, I'm not saying you won't get it, but it's going to be hard because it's not going to be a big pollination and they'll probably eat those up before we can even bring them to just regular listeners. And
they move swift, you know, folks. Come on in the order.
You're better off just going in and if you really want to get in on it, you know, become a member so you have a chance.
100%. I appreciate it, buddy.
Fight over it and shit.
We over deliver. Trust me. Come on into membership. If you don't like it, I'll refund you. You know what I mean? And if you join here at the end of the month, I'll refund you so you don't get charged twice because you do get charged on the first. But if you jump in now, I'll refund you right away. And it is only for the positive growers. That is true, though. You come into our community, we want to get these seeds to the right people. We asked people what they wanted, and they said, you know, I'd love to get my hands on these expensive genetics for cheaper. And we've kind of headed in that direction, and people love it. And if you won't bicker about breeders and lights and stuff, come on in, and then you won't miss out on drops like this. But we appreciate how hard you're working, Rich, truly, to get us, you know, people like me. I'm excited to be working with these genetics that I otherwise wouldn't have access to. So I would like to dive in though specifically. You said you like 2 of these London Pound Cake Cushmints crosses.
Yeah.
Are you in flower? Are you getting terps? Did you get a stem rub? What can you tell us about their attributes that you like?
You know, it's funny because the two that I like are obviously the 2 frostiest. I tend to go towards the ones that have the look just because people want that look. And they, you know, obviously the frostier ones tend to have more terps. So what I'm getting is 1 leaning one way and 1 leaning the other way. The one is clearly leaning towards like a Kush Mints kind of minty profile. And then the other one has, I don't know if it's like cake would be the right word, but like a sweeter baked good kind of smell to it. That's the one I've actually been leaning towards. And I'm more of like a gassier, funky terpene profile guy. I usually don't like fruity or sweet stuff. Mm-hmm. But this one does have something really different about it. I'm also not a huge fan of minty or menthol flavors, so maybe that's why I'm not leaning towards the Kush Mints either as much as the London Pound Cakes. But yeah, it seems like one pheno is leaning one way, one's leaning the other way. But that's just so far, and they're only, you know, about halfway through flower, so it'll be interesting to see what they do in the next couple weeks. That's when they really start bulking up and profiles might change and turn into something completely different, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Dude, it's funny you bring that up. Can we do a little tangent here? Do you mind?
No, go ahead.
Remember that, I think you were there. Remember that question? We do our Growcast TV live stream.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, bro. I've been racking my brain over this question because someone was like, okay, so I'm pheno hunting, right? I think this is going to be good for a lot of the listeners out there. I'm pheno hunting and I want to find something that I'm looking for that I like. How long do I need to take a strain before I know what it is? It was like such a bizarre, like Buddha style question.
Yeah.
And
my
initial response was all the way. You have to take a cut and hold on to it and bring it all the way through harvest, all the way through dry, and even through cure. If it's anywhere close, if it's anywhere in the realm of possibility that it is what you think it could be, because flavor profiles change so much. And he's like, so do I have to hold on for a cut that long? Yes, really. I think sometimes the answer is yes to that. It's an interesting question, right?
No, I totally agree with it. It's very interesting. And I agree with everything you said. And, you know, I don't want to be drastic, but I would even say if you're running from seed and you want to keep that one around because you like it, then I would even run it a second time. Because sometimes the clone do run slightly different than the seed. You know, overall, it's going to come out exactly the same. But every now and then there might be a slight difference.
No, it changes over time as it adapts to your environment.
Yeah, I think running it at least two or three times is going to give you like a for sure answer, you know, is this one for me? But like you said, you at least need to grow it, harvest it, dry it, cure it, and smoke it and go all the way to the end before you're going to know for sure if it's what that profile definitely is and if it's for you. So
do you have any specific examples of drastic profile swings, good or bad? I remember the ice cream wolfman that I grew and the creature feature cross of the ice cream wolfman smelled like super glue and Sharpies in week 4. And then by the end, it didn't really have that stuff. And I was just like, loved it, lost it, but kind of loved the final product better. It was a cool evolution.
No, I've definitely, you know, I've grown so many, it's hard to think off the top of my head, but I've definitely had ones where it smells a certain way the first few weeks, and then by the end of it, it's smelling completely different. Or one that smells a certain way, and by the time I get done drying it and putting it into cure, it smells completely different or tastes completely different than how it smells. It might smell one way and taste a completely different way.
That's
usually
true.
The taste goes, you know, with the smell, but every now and then I do get one where it smells a certain way and it just does not taste like that at all.
Man, you really think most of the time it goes with the flavor? I feel like a lot of strains, the smell doesn't translate directly.
Most of the time, but a good portion of the time.
A good portion of the time, for sure.
You're going to get gas, or,
yeah,
you know, if you smell fruit, you're going to get fruit. You know, it's not a lot of times I smell something fruity and go to smoke it and all I get is gas, but I do have some things where I'll smell something and get something completely different. You
yes.
know, like maybe I smell lime and then I go to smoke it and it's all I'm getting is gas or something, you know?
I tend to like the congruent ones, but if I like both the smell and the flavor and they're different, I'm a big fan of that as well.
Right.
Another one that springs to mind is the Keturah Kush by Cultivated Choice. The one smelled like coffee beans the whole way through. Can't believe I lost those genetics. I'll never forgive myself. And then the other one was maybe even better. And that one, the whole time I was a little bit disappointed, right? You're growing it. This is a perfect example to answer the question now that I think about it. You're growing it, and I don't mean disappointed, but I was looking for coffee terps, and I was growing it, and I said, this is sweet. You know, it smells great, but it smells sweet. It smells like Captain Crunch. Delicious, frosty, easy to grow, too. Smells like Captain Crunch, doesn't smell like coffee at all. So just a little bit disappointed on that front. Grew it, threw flower all the way at the end, harvest. Oh, smells great, just smells sweet. Dry it, still smells like Captain Crunch. 2 weeks in the jar, and I pop it open, and I goddamn cotton picking, I can't believe it, but I swear to God, it smelled like coffee beans and Captain Crunch together. Out of the cure. Yeah, you had that one?
Yeah, I remember that one, the Captain Crunch Pino. That one was great, dude.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I'm glad you remember. I'm flattered. I'm so sad I let that fucking shit go, but man, it was good, and it'll forever be good in my memory. Got to get my hands on more Keturah Kush. If you have some, reach out to me, because yeah, we are limited on our Keturah Kush supply. I'll trade you. If you're listening to this, hook it up. I want that Keturah Kush.
That is a good one.
Yeah. So yeah, man, just examples of this kind of maturation and transmutation of the trichome and all the flavors therein. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not a black and white thing, that's for sure.
Yes, I absolutely agree. All right, well, here we are at the top of the hour, man. Let's make sure that we give Rizo Rich his moment here. Thank you for joining us, Rizo Rich, and for sharing all your knowledge, of course.
Oh, thank you, dude, and thank you to all the listeners and everybody who reaches out and gets our seeds and all that good stuff. I appreciate everybody, man.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it or be motivated without y'all, so.
You rule, man. We do appreciate it. Of course, find him at Rizo_Rich_ICC on Instagram. Get at him in membership every day. He's in our Discord. Growcastpodcast.com/seedco. That's where you need to go. Check out all the lines that we have available. The Peach Quake drop. I think we might have a couple box sets laying around left. One or two.
Yeah.
So some really, really good deals, especially for members getting that discount. It is worth it, everybody. And those genetics are fucking off the chain. That Tectonic Truffle stem rub today was like skunk, rosemary, and lavender.
Yeah, that one I'm super interested just because of that mushroom gas truffle cake. And then the Peach Quake has a couple different ways the flavor could go. It could make a completely new terpene profile. You know what I mean? So I'm very, I'm watching the Tectonic Truffles very hard and definitely can't wait to see what you get with them.
Tune into the update episodes. We're going to be doing some sales on Growcast Seed Co. Also subscribe to the green lists. You're going to get sales there. Growcastpodcast.com/list. That's how you get at Growcast Seed Co. Some of the most fire genetics I've ever seen myself. Just really quick, buddy. If someone wants to grab a pack, what's your number one recommendation right now?
Man, get the Tectonic Truffle.
Good answer.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, that truffle cake's amazing. So
just took down the cup. So that's the one to get.
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody, that is all for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, thank you to the Rhino himself. I know you loved Nug Mash in May. Lots of rosin talk, lots of hash talk. We're moving into a history month. That's right. June cannabis history. Very excited. Yeah, very excited about this next month. I love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. That is all. This is Rizo Rich and Jordan River signing off saying, be safe out there, everybody, and grow smarter.
Later on.
That's our show. Thank you so much to Rizo Rich. I appreciate his time. I appreciate your time. I know you enjoyed that episode. We'll have him back and dive more into cultivation talk. And thank you to the Rhino himself. Before we wrap it up, shout out CEOGrow.xyz, everybody. Grow like a boss. They've got what you need to transform your garden into something amazing. CEOGrow.xyz. Use code GROWCAST for big savings. They've got your low-stress training plant clips. They've got nice little bubblers that you can transform any mason jar into a bong. They've got solo cup holders that specifically fit your tent poles, so you can clip solo cups onto the corners of your tent and grow plants, pheno hunt, hold cuts, whatever, vertically up your tent walls. If you have a passive intake, they've got a filter that blocks the light but lets air through. CEOGrow.xyz has what you need. Again, transform your garden into something truly special. Grow like a boss. Use code GROWCAST at CEOGrow.xyz. They've got custom plant stakes for your strains, lots of customization options. Deck out your tent. pimp out your grow, CEOGrow.xyz, code GrowCast. Check it out. They're always adding new products. Check back often. We love CEO Grow, created by a member, everybody. Pretty fantastic. Once again, that's CEOGrow.xyz, code GrowCast. All right, that's all, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate each and every one of you. And we will be back soon with the whole month of June, which is Cannabis History Month. Super excited to hear all sorts of stories from the old heads. It's going to be awesome. I'll see you there, everybody. Thank you. Hope you're doing amazing things in your garden. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.